paid by the hour.
Mossholders wants you to begin sleeping better this spring. So right now, every mattress is on sale. Stop by the showroom, test our wide selection of Beautyrest Inserta mattresses, and feel which ones give your body the utmost comfort. After selecting your favorite mattress, customize your comfort with discounts on high-quality pillows, sheets, adjustable foundations, and more. Every mattress in every size and all bedding is on sale. That's Mossholders Mattress Sale going on now. Mossholders, furniture is our passion.
Hi, this is Kayla Carr with Sheridan Honda. Got weekend plans but still need to get your vehicle serviced? Great news. Our service department has extended our Saturday hours until 5 p.m. to make it easier than ever to keep your ride running its best. We also service power sports on Saturdays. From side-by-sides to dirt bikes, our expert technicians are ready to help keep your adventure going. From your daily driver to your weekend toy, we've got you covered. Stop by Saturday or schedule online. Sheridan Honda. Our service works around your schedule.
Wyoming wasn't built overnight. It was built by people who worked hard, stayed true to their values, and thought about the next generation. This is Frank Boley, and we think the same way at Legacy Ridge Private Wealth in Sheridan. We help individuals, families, and businesses build a financial plan designed to last. Visit us at 45 North Main next to Frackleton's. Legacy Ridge Private Wealth, building a legacy that matters. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Tuesday, March 17th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning we are joined by Sheridan County Conservation District Manager Carrie Rogacheski and USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service District Conservationist Andrew Cassidy. Good morning.
Welcome. Good morning, back. Floyd.
Good morning, Floyd. Good to see you.
Oh, good to see you guys. Last time we talked, we were looking at a workshop coming up. I put up a lot of stories for that, trying to get as many people into there as possible, because, man, that sounded like it was going to be a really informative workshop. How did it go?
Yeah, I mean, Andrew can speak too, but I think it went very well. We had pretty good attendance, and there was a lot of engagement with the speaker. He was great, and Caroline too. So Steve Kenyon out of Canada and Caroline Wild out of Parkman. They really, just a lot of impromptu conversations as well among producers and with him. He was very open to just talking with folks, answering questions. We had an evening social that night too, just some light hors d'oeuvres where he also talked a little bit more. We watched a video about a year long grazing. The video was
South Dakota folks.
Yeah. And it was very good, and there was just it was outstanding, as they always tend to be, and a lot of support from sponsors and other members of the collaborative that really work hard to pull it all together, and so it's always fun to see it come together.
Yeah, it's an odd year outside.
Winter grazing and it's 70 degrees outside.
It's an odd year, but fantastic subject matter. Winter grazing workshop held in February, when usually it's something that's
should
really
be
on our
really
mind.
Right on the mind.
Why that focus? How did this subject come up? Did somebody bring this to you? Was it a concern that someone on the board decided, you know what, let's look at this?
Yeah, I think both of those. Some members of the collaborative, that was something they were really interested in, that Working Lands Collaborative, which is landowners and other agency and nonprofit reps. And then they also are talking with each other, and it's just something we've heard about at times over the years. And some of the members had heard Steve speak at other venues, and so really kind of wanted to bring that a little closer to home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fiscally, winter feed cost is one of the biggest single costs in a ranching enterprise. The cost of getting that mother cow through the winter in good shape to deliver a calf in the spring. That's one of the biggest costs. And so understanding what that cost is, and they're doing everything you can to to manage it and prepare, I guess, your enterprise in a way that makes sense for you. And so that's kind of what the driver was from my seat was, let's look at what it costs and kind of talk to that point about, recognizing and allocating those costs. And then what are some alternatives if you do take a look at that? And oh my goodness, we're spending 80% of the cost of raising a calf on winter feed. Why is it so expensive?
Yeah.
You know, and what can we do to control that? So grazing versus fed hay is one piece that can be useful.
What was the key takeaway for you, Andrew?
Oh, I guess that going a step further beyond just the cost of it, there are some opportunities, I guess, in terms of winter feeding that you can take advantage of in terms of building soil health, building drought resilience, those sorts of things. And I guess I'll use the term bycatch on the way to your winter feeding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, accomplish your winter feeding goals and also in a way that improves soil health, improves soil organic matter, that directly ties to drought resiliency.
Now, when it comes to the other part, because sheep is going to cover a lot of the financials having to do with ranching, wasn't
yes.
it?
Was
that yes. Caroline? Yeah, Caroline, yeah. Yes.
And, you know, when I think about that, because a lot of people get to see the adventure, you know, yeah. out there yeah. on oh, the yeah. horse, having, yep. having mm-hmm. a lot of fun. You know, it's work.
It's
but
work.
It's fun, too. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a reason why people want to be a cowboy. But at the same time, you know, the back half of that folks don't see. Sitting mm-hmm. at the desk, worrying about costs and things like what Andrew was talking about. Was there any sort of alleviation when it came to those concerns that she put forward? Could you kind of see it on the landowner and the rancher's faces where they're like, oh my goodness, a light bulb, that's going to help out?
I think so a little bit. And I'm not well versed in these kind of things, but the comment I heard from both of them was, if you're not paying yourself, you need to pay yourself. Like, because a lot of times, you know, if you're out there, you don't think of a paycheck for you. I'm an employee too. And maybe I don't have any employees, maybe just family. But then, you know, making sure that is factored into your budget and mm-hmm. and all of those pieces and kind of looking at all of that. That was something that struck me from both of them.
Dividing it away from profit, that your time is a cost.
Yeah.
And needs to be provided in there. And it's maybe one of the few places in business where you don't include a labor cost. Or lots
yourself,
of people don't.
Yeah.
That it is easily overlooked and one of the ways to achieve profitability. But if we only get to the end and we have a profit or we don't, that's a pretty narrow margin to,
yeah.
you know, raise a family, make your payments, those sorts of things.
My folks didn't own a big ranch, but I come from a long line of range riders. And, you know, bringing up that employee thing, that was the family reunion. We got to get all the
yeah.
cows out of the mountains
yep.
and return back to the folks. That was when everyone got together for the year.
Sure.
And I'm sure there's a lot of ranchers out there do the same thing.
Sure.
You know, we're going to do some branding. We're going to do some calving.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for a family reunion.
Right.
Yeah,
yep. Get everybody together.
Yeah,
have a
right.
barbecue.
A great way to kind of save on a lot of money because
mm-hmm.
you need a lot of people to get those things done.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I can remember that was the time that mm-hmm. the entire family came together and you spent all day working and all night laughing by the fire.
Yeah.
So it was always such a great time. But I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't
yeah.
have the concerns
you didn't,
and the worries.
Yeah, whether that was
yeah.
going to pay the bills.
Exactly. I didn't have those concerns. Now, when it comes to the workshops, there's something else coming up in April, maybe?
Maybe. I mean, the Rancher's Night Out, things that we've talked about before, the networking opportunities, you know, probably April-ish. We don't have the next one scheduled yet, but would be hoping to get that on the books here in the next few weeks, at least kind of figuring out when. Still trying to target those about twice a year, spring and fall.
Yeah.
And then leave the summer for the brandings and the hay
yeah.
and all of the other things that people have going on. But so something like that coming up soon.
Now, I brought that up because I just want folks to know there is going to be another one. It's coming up. It's going to be sometime this spring. Keep your ears open and your eyes on the website. As soon as you've got that, I'll get that up, and we'll make sure that we get the word out for everybody.
Yeah.
Now, moving on down the line, we've got mini grants. Can you tell me what a mini grant is?
So the collaborative in one of our discussions earlier this year from that Working Lands Collaborative, kind of we're visiting about, okay, so we've offered these workshops and we're giving people information. What might they need to take the next step? Maybe they want to try some of these things that these speakers are talking about, but they don't know where, how to get started, or what they may need. So we came up, it's a pilot program this year because we don't know how well it's going to work, but offering mini grants up to $2,500 to folks that have attended one or more of those past workshops. So that would be who's eligible, and they just need to kind of reach out. We have a simple application, but maybe it's for something like hiring a consultant or a financial planner or an attorney to help with a grazing plan, an estate plan. Maybe you want to get some your soil tested, lab fees, or you want to attend one of the more in-depth workshops, the intense multi-day things. So we have, like I said, a simple application. They can fill that out, let us know how they're going to use what amount they want, what they're going to use it for, and how that's going to help them take that next step. And then really the collaborative will be looking at those applications, deadline April 1st. They can just call the office, Andrew or I, to and we can send one of those applications to them. But yeah, it's just, like I said, we're trying it out. If it's successful, we hope it would be something that we would continue into the future. But, you know, it's one thing to give information, which is a wonderful thing. Don't get me wrong. It's incredible. And offer these networking. But sometimes people need a little help. They need something a little more. And maybe this is a way we can help continue to increase that.
Well, I think it's a fantastic opportunity because there is always that concern in the back of the mind. You know, this is great information, but do I want to put my year at risk?
Well, and how does it fit me? You know, that's kind of, I look around the room at these events and you can see the wheels turning.
Yeah.
And some people, that's enough to get started on the, you know, they see some things and we're going to go home and we're going to do them. And others have more questions than they came in with.
Yeah.
And this is kind of aimed at that, I think, that we can help them to find a specialist or whatever the need is to sit down and pick through just one-on-one. And, you know, what are the things that we can do to turn the stone, I guess. And hopefully start rolling.
Minimize that risk.
Yes,
so I can take that leap.
Yep.
Because,
exactly.
You know, being conservative saves the year.
Yeah, for sure.
Indeed.
And so sometimes you think, boy, that'd
change
be nice
hard.
If only I could.
Sure.
You know, so this is going to help give people that little, I can.
That little leg up. That's
right. And I think that's fantastic. So one more time, how can people apply? How much is it for? And when's our deadline?
So to get the application forward, they just need to call the Sheridan County Conservation District or NRCS office. We can email that to them, or they can stop by and visit with us and we can give them one. Deadline of April 1st. And what's the other question?
How much?
There's another question. Up to $2,500 right now.
Okay, that's fantastic. And I'll get that up online today. So we can start taking advantage of that. We're going to have more at the Sheridan County Conservation District in just a moment. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Hi, I'm Maren Borsheim.
And Nicole Pierce with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Right now, qualified homebuyers may receive a mortgage rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage.
Yes, through the Mortgage Rate Relief Program.
It's designed to make buying your primary residence easier and more affordable.
We'll personally help you check eligibility and guide you through the process.
Call First Federal Bank and Trust for all the details or visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust, because your home should be within reach. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
With record calf prices and limited cattle numbers, this spring is an opportunity to invest in the right genetics. Join Elk Angus March 17th at 1 o'clock for the Elk Angus Bull Sale in Buffalo, Wyoming. Selling 50-plus range-ready yearling bulls and elite replacement heifers born at the base of the Bighorn Mountains and run at 8,000 feet all summer long. Proven at elevation with the growth, maternal strength, structural soundness, and carcass merit. Today's market rewards. These bulls are built to adapt and go to work. Also broadcast live on DV Auction. View the catalog, elkangus.com. Range proven, cow-powered, focused on the future. Elkangus.com.
When someone you love starts needing help, everything changes. Suddenly you're worrying about rides to appointments, meals, chores, and making sure they're okay when you're not there. That's what Synergy Home Care is all about. Real support, real connection, real dignity. From senior in-home care, companionship to memory care, and hospital to home support, and specialized home care, it's care that works around your family. Visit SynergyHomeCare.com or call 674-HOME. That's 674-H-O-M-E. Synergy Home Care, local family-owned home care you can count on.
Big dealerships have big budgets for big advertising, but the truth is that major sponsorships cost big bucks. Here at Prime Rate Motors, we choose to sponsor our local youth and local worthwhile programs, all the while passing that savings on to you, our customer. We are locally owned with the same ownership and management for over 40 years. If we don't have what you need, we'll find it, and we'll stand behind it after the sale. Because we live here, we work here, and we raise our families here. Prime Rate Motors, 2305 Coffeen Avenue.
When it comes to orthopedic care, experience matters. At Sheridan Orthopedic Associates, our team of board-certified specialists brings decades of trusted expertise to every diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and recovery plan. From sports injuries to joint replacements, Sheridan Orthopedics offers both surgical and non-surgical care tailored to your needs right here in your community. Choose the team that physicians and families have trusted for generations. Learn more about our team of experts at SheridanOrtho.com. Sheridan Orthopedics, expertise you can count on.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. And this morning, we're speaking with Sheridan County Conservation District Manager, Kerry Rogacheski, and USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service District Conservationist, Andrew Cassidy. Now, this is something that we always try to talk about, Kerry.
Yes.
But I get to talking and asking too many questions sometimes, so I assure you we're going to talk about it right now, and that is many may not know what the ACME site is. For those who don't, can you tell us about the location and its significance to Sheridan County?
So the former ACME power plant is just north of Sheridan on the ACME Road, kind of just near where the Goose Creek goes into Tongue River. It was a coal-fired power plant that was originally constructed in 1910 there on the banks of the Tongue River, and supplied power to ACME, several of the mines in the area, the city of Sheridan for a number of years. And it closed down in 1976 and really fell into disrepair. And there were a lot of interim owners and various other kind of activities that went on out there. And when we were approached with by someone with an interest in the site to talk about the environmental contamination out there, so safety concerns, because it had been just left to kind of fall apart.
And people were dumping out there, weren't they?
Well, there was significant stuff out there, whether it was illegal dumping or past owners. You know, I don't want to get into all that because I don't know all those answers. But there was a number of stuff. I mean, I could have had a hot tub, a boat, a camper. lots of stuff. But so the district, in partnership with the land trust and some others at that time, were interested in moving forward with kind of seeing what we could do and dipping our feet in the water a little bit to see if there was even a potential project out there. And after a lot of work kind of establishing all of those things, the district assumed ownership of the site in 2017. The conservation district, in order to participate in federal and state cleanup programs, we had to own the site and be a government entity. So not that we wanted our 5-acre piece of heaven out there, but for good or for bad, we are the site owner at the present time. And we've been working with a number of partners through the ACME Working Group, which, similar to the collaborative, is a lot of representatives from local nonprofits, government agencies, historical interests, Because it does have an amazing history out there.
Absolutely.
And the building itself was massive. There were certainly parts that were very architecturally interesting and just cool, for lack of a better word. Unfortunately, the state of the building, as we went through, so we've been working over the last 2 years working on asbestos removal within the building. There were huge quantities of asbestos in there, among some other things. And it was clear that some of the building itself was a source of some of the contamination on site through asbestos blowing out the window and other things. So some of that, and as we were working through that asbestos removal process, it became clear that demolition was the only viable option. We worked with a number of entities for the last several years trying to determine the economic feasibility of maintaining the building for some use out there, and not sure what that use would be, and nothing really would ever come to the forefront just because of its distance out of town. And, you know, in some larger communities where they have sites like this downtown, they can turn them into cool things, but out there it just didn't make sense. And also because the structural integrity was starting to really be a concern.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that answered.
Yeah. A lot of work going on.
And I think the last time we did talk about it, you said, oh, it's been about 10 years. I'm like, oh my gosh, that makes it sound horrible. That I didn't know that whole 10 years just evaporated before my eyes. But even though, you know, and we get the comments sometimes about, well, nothing's going on out there. I'm like, oh, there's a lot going on out there. You just don't see it. So we'd had to spend some time on very specific environmental assessments to characterize the contamination, locations and where and how deep and what kind of things we had to deal with. And then, you know, every step along the way took its own, took some time related to just permitting or getting funding to do it or getting the authorizations. There were just a lot of, we had to do it right, I guess. So we had to jump through a number of hoops but that was just what needed to happen because of its history and the contamination out there.
And something like this, you know, I've covered news-wise other efforts and other buildings. One thing I've learned was, you know, you got high hopes when you walk out
there. You got high hopes.
And then all of a sudden someone goes, well, what about this?
Oh,
well,
yes.
Now you've got this.
That has the
stuff. It seems like the deeper you dig, the more you find out, wow, this is going to be a handful.
This is going to be an issue. Yes.
But you realized it was going to be a handful.
Mm-hmm. I think we knew all along. I mean, the district, we before we agreed to take it on in that capacity. And again, I want to stress, we're not doing it alone. We have a number of partners.
Great partners.
But we are just, for at the end of the day, we're the ones responsible for it now because we are the site owners. So when we, before we decided to do that, the board really took a hard, long look at, okay, just because we can, does that mean we should? And we knew it was going to be long. We knew it was going to be complicated. We knew it was going to be frustrating at times, but we also came back to our mission, you know, protection of land and water quality in Sheridan County. And that is exactly, you know, it wasn't, a lot of times when a group goes after a building to clean up a site like this, they have a future economic development or purpose in mind. For us, that then they have to address the contamination to get there. For us, it was more starting at the contamination. We were coming in at it that way. So when I've been to some of the national conferences, I'm always feel a little out of place. I'm like, well, we didn't really have a plan. I mean, we had a plan, we vague plan. We knew the site. We had some sideboards that we wanted for the site available for public use. Protection of water and land quality and maintaining or at least capturing, recognizing that historical significance. We certainly didn't want to erase that because there is such a neat history out there, not just with that site, but with the other mine sites, the town site. There's a whole history out there that we're going to try to integrate into that final use, which will ultimately be an open space because there's not going to be a building there.
Mm.
We'll have some sort of monument or something related to that history in some way to. And so that was one of the reasons why when we established the working group, we wanted to make sure someone from the museum, the historical society, were represented. Because I'm not a historian.
Yeah.
I love it, but I'm not good at that. So we want to definitely make sure those folks have been included.
That's a great plan. That way you had somebody who had that in the back of their mind the entire time.
The last thing I wanted to do was to raise a building and then be like, well, hey, did you think, nope.
Exactly. So. Now, you're going to have a public meeting here coming up.
Yes. So as we move into the next phase, which will be the demolition of the building later this summer, we wanted to just make sure the public was aware of our plan, give an update on everything we've done so far. Like I said, we haven't been just sitting around hanging out there. But it'll be April 8th at 5:30 p.m. at the library. Just scheduled yesterday. So this time, at least, we haven't received a text saying it's canceled. And encourage people to come out to hear what we've done, to also share, you know, part of that capturing that historical is hearing people's stories. And we've taken some effort to do that at different times in the past. We worked with the UW-Hobbs School, who collected several historical narratives from folks that used to live and or work out there. And so continuing that conversation, but certainly we know there's a wealth of information out there. And so encourage people to come to these meetings. Some may share their concerns about it being torn down, and I get it. And so we don't want them to hear about it after the fact. We want to make sure that we've told them, you know, the plan, and this is why.
Yeah.
We really took a lot of effort. It took us a long time before that decision was made because we were looking for any way to keep that building.
Exactly. And I can kind of tell that, you know, you did your best to make sure that the building would stay, but it's just not a feasible.
It's just not a feasible,
plan. Now, before I let you go, let's talk about the annual tree program real fast.
Mm-hmm.
What is the tree program? How can somebody participate?
So the Conservation District has for a number of years, since even before I came along, has had a conservation seedling tree program. So it's for conservation grade seedling trees for a conservation purpose, like a windbreak or an erosion control or a noise barrier, living snow fence, habitat planting. So they're sold in bulk. So 25 or 30 seedlings. They're not big trees. They're not meant for landscaping a yard, and certainly
service trees.
Service trees. And I want to let people know they're babies. They're conservation grade. They're not going to be each year we start collecting orders in around November through early April. So the deadline this year is April 3rd. And then the trees become available in early May. And again, they're in quantities of 25 or 30, depending on the type of tree. And a lot of them are bare root. Some come as plugs, so they have a little soil in them. But again, they're not in a pot. And in the last few years, we've also, Jackie, our program specialist at the Conservation District, she manages the whole program, works with four different nurseries to try to keep stock because sometimes things sell out of one or aren't available at one. So she spends a lot of time coordinating all of that. And we also offer, in the last few years, perennial for pollinator habitat plantings.
Oh, fantastic.
And those come through Piney Island Native Plants, but Jackie coordinates with her. And again, bulk size, you're not getting five. You're getting, I think it's 25 or something like that, maybe more. And they can order on our website is probably the fastest, easiest way with a credit card. Or if they don't want to do it that way, they can come into the office and we have paper forms.
Okay. And if I want to learn a little bit more, all I got to do is jump on the website.
Website. Jackie has great descriptions of every tree, photos, all of those things. So a lot of information on there, too, to help you decide what you want to plant.
Well, Carrie, Andrew, thank you both so much for coming in.
Thank you.
It is always a pleasure having you guys
on. Hope we see you again soon.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. When we come back, we're going to speak with the Wyoming Community Foundation. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
first home, feeling overwhelmed?
I'm Maren Borsheim.
And I'm Nicole Pierce with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Our mortgage rate relief program may lower your mortgage rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed rate mortgage.
That could mean hundreds saved every month.
If you meet income guidelines, you may qualify to buy your primary residence.
Let's make it simple.
Call us or visit efirstfederal.bank today for all the details.
First Federal Bank and Trust. We're with you every step home. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Talking with Bill from Tales of the City. Bill, can you tell me what you mean by treats with a purpose?
We have all kinds of different treats. Bully sticks, these are naturally drained, naturally dried. We have supplements like Ultra Oil, which completes the 3-6-9 omegas. And then there's Ultra Joint. It really helps the older dogs, helps dogs with joint problems. There's a lot of dogs that need that supplement.
Stop by Tales of the City and check out the wide selection of treats with a purpose. 218 West Burkett.
Get ready to dig in at Gunslinger's with the complete fried chicken feast. Ham-breaded chicken, potatoes and gravy, coleslaw, and buttery biscuits with honey. Add a new smash burger and don't forget dessert with creamy ice cream. No time to sit? Pull up to their drive-up window and get it delivered straight to your door with DoorDash. Fast, fresh, and ready to go. Open 10 a.m. Monday to Saturday at 901 Long Drive inside the old Sinclair gas station. Gunslingers. Cluck yeah.
Mark your calendar for an unforgettable evening Friday, March 27th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Sheridan County Fairgrounds Exhibit Hall. The Compass Fundraising Gala, where talent takes the stage, will be a night of entertainment, food, and fun where you get to vote for your favorite act, dress in your best red carpet attire, and visit the selfie station. Tickets are very limited, so get yours today at compassforfamilies.org. That's compass, the number 4, families.org.
Hi, this is Dan Marshall with Captain Clean. We are Northern Wyoming's premier cleaning service. Carpet cleaning, air duct cleaning, oriental rug cleaning, water and fire damage restoration, mold remediation, upholstery cleaning, tile and grout cleaning, hardwood floor cleaning, and much, much more. Nobody cleans like we do. Call Captain Clean today, 672-0726. Affordable solutions for healthy living.
We clean more for you.
Mossholders wants you to begin sleeping better this spring. So right now, every mattress is on sale. Stop by the showroom, test our wide selection of Beautyrest Inserta mattresses, and feel which ones give your body the utmost comfort. After selecting your favorite mattress, customize your comfort with discounts on high-quality pillows, sheets, adjustable foundations, and more. Every mattress in every size and all bedding is on sale. That's Mossholders Mattress Sale going on now. Mossholders, furniture is our passion.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. This morning, we are sitting with Wyoming Community Foundation Associate Director of Donor Stewardship, Salvador Madrigal. How are you, sir? Welcome back.
I'm well, sir. Thank you for having me. This is great. I'm thankful for your time.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen you.
Yes, sir.
But I always enjoy you when you're here. The Wyoming Community Foundation is an excellent organization. For those who may not know what the Wyoming Community Foundation is, what are you?
Good question. A lot of people don't. And one of my goals is to change that. I want everybody to know. So the Wyoming Community Foundation, primarily a granting organization, which means that we manage funds and then grant out to qualifying nonprofits throughout the state. Since 1989, the Wyoming Community Foundation, so that means we're starting on our 37th year.
Wow.
The Wyoming Community Foundation has connected people who care with causes that matter. I mean, that really is our mission. Connect people who care with causes that matter to build a better Wyoming. Since then, we have granted considerably more than $120 million to charitable causes, while also providing different support to nonprofit agency fund holders. So that's what we do. We want to help build a better Wyoming. We serve donors and we serve communities by connecting them to causes that they care most about. We also try really hard to make giving easy by accepting a lot of different kinds of gifts, from cash and appreciated securities to more complex gifts such as real estate and mineral interests. Shoot, we've gotten coin collections, gun collections that can be donated to us, and we take care of all the background work. We take care of all the taxes, all that kind of stuff, so that we can take the value of those and donate them to charities. We are overseen by a volunteer board who ensures that that your funds are being used to the best support of Wyoming. So we actually have state boards and local boards. That's in a nutshell, but it's a lot broader than that. The Wyoming Community Foundation is huge, and we do a lot.
Now, when it comes to like the way that it's divided up, if somebody out there has got some funds and they want to ensure that those funds go to the state of Wyoming,
sure.
Do they contact the state board? And then for those of us who were like, you know, I want my funds to stay right here, they contact that local board?
That's a really good question. I'm glad you asked it. But no, we can make it simpler than that. Contact me. If you're in Sheridan, Johnson area, contact me. We have people throughout the state, and I think we'll touch on that a little bit more later. But I can take care of all that. So we have all sorts of different funds and different ways that you can gift. And you tell us where you want it. You want it just to stay in Sheridan? Fine. You want it just to be in Buffalo? That's totally fine. Or do you want it to go throughout the state of Wyoming? That's fine as well. We can do it however you want. And I can help you set all that up myself.
Now, are these certain foundations, trusts? What kind of funds do we manage over there?
Yes.
Fantastic.
So it's so many different things. The Wyoming Community Foundation, when I say we, it's Wyoming Community Foundation. We manage, it's a little over 400 different funds. So there's a lot of donor advised funds where, say, you come to us and you want to start a fund, but you want to keep the responsibility of every year saying who's going to benefit from that grant, right? You want a gift to, you know, the Sheridan Foster Parent Exchange 1 year, and the next year, whoever you may want to do, you can tell us that year to year. And we manage everything else. So if you want something like that, we can set that up. If you want something where you just know that every year, you know, 4% of your grant, of the money that you invested with us, is going to be granted out, and you give us a list of the typical things you like to give to, but you're going to be traveling a lot. You're going to be doing different things, and you don't want to have to deal with it year to year. You just know that we know where your heart is and what you like to give to, and then you can count on the fact that every year that percentage of the dividend from your fund is going to be granted to organizations that fit within your requirements, that are in good standing, and that are doing their best to better Wyoming. That's two simple explanations. We have agency funds where different organizations can start a fund with us, either endowed or non-endowed. Getting into some technicalities here, but endowed means in perpetuity, forever. Right? So it's invested forever, which is amazing because the dividends on something like that pay out much higher.
Yeah.
And it's going to help Wyoming forever, right? It might not be as big every year as if you just give one big gift now. However, it's going to be forever. So in 10 years, you've doubled your gifting, right? So different agencies can start their own funds. And if they're endowed, that agency knows that forever, they're going to have this fund that is going to give them money every year. That gives one of the things I love most about doing all this is how we're able to help organizations like this, because that gives them a little more credibility. That gives them a little bit more substance for when they go out and they raise funds for themselves. They can say, we have this fund and it's held by somebody else who is also a nonprofit and who is 100% accountable. And you know that if you give us money, if you donate to us and we put it in this fund, you can rest 100% assured that it's going to be there. It's going to be used for whatever this agency may be needs in perpetuity. So your money's going to get taken care of. It's going to grow, and it's going to give to the Sheridan Foster Parent Exchange forever.
Yeah.
Just using them as an example. But yeah, so it's so cool, right? Because we help nonprofits in that way as well. It's just as a agency fund. We have a lot of established old funds like that. And that's what allows us to continue to grow and to do so much. Like I said, this is we're starting on our 37th year. So we have funds that have been started for forever. Some of the ones that allow us to do the most in Sheridan Johnson counties are field of interest funds, for instance, where people, names that we've all heard, you know, if you've ever read like Sam Morton's book, Where the Rivers Run North, or anything, History of Sheridan, a lot of these old names, Moncriefs and different names like that. We have funds like that, Buxton Sarver, that were started a long time ago with the foresight of helping Sheridan and Johnson County clear back then. And they're just for Sheridan Johnson County. They're for field of interest, what they were interested in, you know, but whether it's the arts or education or whatever. And still now they've grown because they're invested wisely. They're invested in perpetuity. And still to this day, they're granting, they're providing funds to help Sheridan and Johnson County. So it's awesome. It's been such a privilege to be able to work with people like this. You know, it's humbling as heck. I mean,
yeah,
we just had a event, man. I had such a good time because we had some of the most incredible people come to our event where we were able to present checks, right? And I mean, I'm 6'8" and I have them holding this check that's like 6 foot long, you know, and I love feeling like, oh, look at me. It's me giving out this money. It's not my money, but it felt so good to help these people, you know, that are doing such incredible work, feeding people, feeding kids, you know, and I get the privilege of saying, here's this check. And it feels like it's me, right? It's feeding my ego,
yeah. Even though
it's got nothing to do with my money, but it feels so good to help people. And the truth of the matter is none of it would happen or matter or work if it weren't for this incredible network of people in Wyoming that are so selfless and so centered in helping Wyoming, right? It's so cool.
What got you into this work?
That's a good question, man. It's, I wish I had a better answer, but it's just a serendipity. It's, I wasn't born in Wyoming, but I've never felt more at home and more like myself than in Wyoming. I first moved to Sheridan years ago to manage guest ranches and to cowboy, because I mean, this is that country, right? It's cowboy country and it's beautiful, big country. And I loved it and I loved the people here. And it's been so good to me for so long that I wanted to give back. I'm passionate about people, man. I love people. I love meeting people. I love trying to help people. I love trying to understand why people work, what makes people click. And it's such a privilege to be able to do something where I can give back, where my love of people allows me to be able to help, to be able to pretend that I'm the guy handing out those checks, right? It's such a privilege. It's just, and Sheridan is such a generous community and it's so minded towards nonprofit and towards gifting, that it's just, it's welcoming, really welcoming. I just, feel so, so fortunate to be able to do it. But things change, right, Floyd? I mean, you know, Sheridan's grown.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's pretty hard to go anywhere and talk about Sheridan without somebody at some point saying how expensive it is, right? Or how, I mean, do you agree? How the cost of living has gone up. And so things change, right? It's in a lot of ways, it's harder to live in a place like Sheridan because it is beautiful and it's attracting people, right? And it's attracting money. So I get the opportunity, the privilege of being able to use that as an angle to keep helping, right? To keep raising awareness of the incredible nonprofit philanthropic work that's going on in these communities and grow them, right? More demand means we need to increase the supply. So let's together do more to keep you know, our parks being incredible, our YMCA being incredible, our food pantry being incredible. let's do that together. And I get the privilege of reaching out to all these people and connecting those dots.
A lot of folks are like me.
Sure.
You know, we're pretty common. We don't have a whole lot of money.
I don't know if there's too much common about you, man, but okay.
I appreciate it. But I mean, like, we look at the situation and we think, you know, gosh, if I donate anything, it's just such a meager amount. But sure. It's those, what I would define as like meager amounts that really make a big difference.
Sure. And you're 100% right. Meager amount to you is a totally different amount than meager amount is somebody else, right?
Yeah. I feel like, hey, this is as much as I can give.
And that's awesome. That's incredible. A saying I really enjoy is $10 is a whole lot of money when you don't have $5, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and it just puts it in perspective. But $20, you know, a $20 gift that becomes part of a bigger fund that's already several $1,000 fund, and it's invested in a pool of funds that's over $200 million, right? So all of a sudden, your $20 is in a fund that is, you know, $15,000, and that all of that gets moved into a pot that's $230 million. And so it ticks up, right? And all of a sudden, it's earning money, and it's spitting money back out to benefit Wyoming. Every little drop counts. Every little amount counts. And there is no minimum. There is no, you know, if it's not X amount of dollars, it doesn't help. That's just flat not true. Any little bit helps. And it's amazing.
And giving is giving.
Giving is giving, 100%. And I mean, it's often those $20 come from a richer spot than the, you know, 2000, right? Mm-hmm. And it means more. And in a lot of ways, it helps more because that person is volunteering, is giving more of, you know, of themselves. And what I've seen, what I really enjoy is so many times people that feel like you just described donate their time or donate a smile or a handshake. You have no idea how much that helps, how much difference that can make. I had the great privilege of holding the event that I was telling you about earlier, where I got to hand out these checks at the food group here in Sheridan. And the people that volunteer to pack bags full of food and deliver them. And without them, it wouldn't be possible, right? So yeah. Many people get fed. I wish I remembered the numbers, but it's hundreds of meals, right, that are provided by this incredible group in Sheridan. And if it weren't for the people picking up the cans and putting them in the bag or the bag of apples or whatever and putting them in the bag and delivering it, that wouldn't happen, right? So it's so many times it's just that, right? An act of kindness. It's just it doing something for the greater good. Giving, I love how you said it. Giving is giving. It doesn't matter really how much.
Yeah. Or what it is. And sometimes that time is more 100%. Valuable than any monetary amount.
100%.
So if somebody...
So let's help, right? I mean, and that's our goal, is to help.
If someone wanted to take some action, learn a little bit more, what do they need to do?
So there's so much, right? There's so many things. I mean, our webpage, which is wycf.org, WY for Wyoming Community Foundation.org, has so much information on it. There's... So many ways you can do, again, so many ways you can gift. We have, and I think we might talk about it a little bit, but I was just going to mention it. One of the things we're pushing very hard right now, one of our biggest campaigns is called Five to Thrive. And so if you get on our website, like we just talked about, we have a transfer of wealth report that we really worked hard on getting. And it's really interesting because in the next up to 10 years, 7 to 10 years, just in the state of Wyoming, there's going to be a transfer of wealth of almost of around $24 billion with a B, $24 billion. That's not all in cash, right? It's properties, it's assets, it's all sorts of different things. But $24 billion, right? If we, meaning the nonprofit world, philanthropy, the Wyoming Community Foundation. If we can capture 5% of that, that's why 5 to Thrive, 5% of that is about $1 billion, which would be life-changing, right? I mean, it would be so huge. So our big push is to start getting people to think and just consider the fact of 5%. You know, leave 95% to whoever you care about, to whatever you care about. 95% to your kids, your grandkids, whoever you may be, but leave 5% to philanthropy. 5% is really not that much, right? It's not that big a number. I mean, I'd love to buy a new pickup. And if somebody were to say, oh, they have a 5% discount on them, that wouldn't even be enough for me to consider it, because I know that that discount's not going to make that pickup affordable to me, right? It's not that big of an amount. But 5%, whether it's 5% of $1,000 or 5% of $1 million, that all gets added. You know, we add all that up, and it could be up to $1 billion of this transfer of wealth. Which is huge, right? Starting with 5%. So, I mean, that's something to really, really consider, really start thinking about. And again, it's empowering. It's rewarding to be able to say, you know, I love where I live. I love where I've raised my kids. I love the people here, and I want to help. And 5%, even if your whole estate is you don't think it's much, 5% of it will add up. It will.
Yeah. And it changes a lot of lives.
100% every day.
You know, Salvador, you said something that really strikes me. And it's something that I hear from a lot of people who give. And that is, Wyoming's been good to me.
Yeah.
And I wanted to give back to it. You know, if folks out there feel that same thing, then they can jump on this train and they can help to contribute to Wyoming's future.
100%.
And, kind of go to the next world knowing that I left my egg for them. You know, plant the trees if someone
cool
else
is that,
sits
right?
in the mean, shade.
That,
yeah.
That is awesome.
Well,
and 5%, man, I mean, it doesn't have to be a ton of money. It doesn't. 5%. 5% of whatever your capability is. 5%. So think of it that way, as a percentage, not a set number, right?
Just a percentage.
Just a percentage. And that's huge. I mean, it's awesome.
I want to thank you so much for coming in today.
Oh, man.
It's always great to see you. Let's see you not too long from now.
Okay.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Ready to level up your career?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, our people are our greatest strength, and we're hiring full and part-time tellers to join our team.
Enjoy great pay, outstanding benefits, and a culture that empowers and supports you every step of the way.
Because at First Federal, we invest in you with the tools, training, and opportunities to grow both personally and professionally.
Take the next step at eFirstFederal.bank and discover a career that truly invests in you.
First Federal Bank and Trust is an equal opportunity employer.
Talking with Shan Foster at All Around Canine Training and Country Pet Inn about protection dogs.
That's one of my specialties, actually. It's not in huge demand, but the cool thing is when it is, it's super important.
I'm sure just like with everything else, it's an individual process. Every dog is unique. Every person's unique. The needs Correct. Are all over the place. So one of the things you work on is matching that up.
Correct, yes. If you have kids, if it's a family protection dog versus a single person protection dog, you know, the environment that person lives in is super, super important. You don't want a dog that's more edgy in a household that might entail a lot of distractions, a lot of activity, versus someone that's maybe an older person that doesn't have a whole lot going on in the house and can afford to have a dog that's a little more alert, receptive to noises and things like that. Very, very, very important to match the right kind of dog in the right environment.
There are different levels of protection dogs, different needs for different situations. Make sure you get the right level of protection at an appropriate price. With help from Shan Foster. Learn more at allaroundcanine.com.
Our American Stories, Saturday night at 8 on News Talk 930. K-R-O-E.